The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying.
Welcome to this Friday night of the privilege of access to the face of Jesus. I welcome everyone in all our halls and in your houses. If you are not settled, I suggest you do. If you don't have a notebook, I suggest you get one. If you have no choice, I suggest you ensure that after this meeting, you take stock of the things that I said. I'm hoping we might have a chance to pray today some more about the many things that the Holy Spirit has been emphasizing. Every time the Lord comes to a people, He can approach to bless. That's to make you happy. He can approach to rebuke you. He can approach to correct you. He can approach to instruct. How do we know it's one of those things? The scriptures tell you that all scripture, all the written words of God are given by the inspiration of the Spirit, and they are profitable, depending on the translation, for teaching, doctrine, that's what teaching is, for reproof or rebuke, for correction, don't do it this way, do it this way, for instruction in righteousness, not instruction in money making, in righteousness. In righteousness. You see, why? Because that's what he seeks. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Matthew chapter 5, he says in the 18th verse or so, he says, if your righteousness does not exceed that of the Pharisees. So, there's the righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisees is the righteousness of the kingdom. You will never enter the kingdom of heaven. There's a righteousness that exceeds that of the Pharisees. There's a righteousness of the Pharisees. What's the righteousness of the Pharisees? It's a spectacle righteousness. It's a righteousness that is for sure. It's a righteousness that is tainted with hypocrisy. It's a righteousness that comes in front of people and says certain things and asserts certain things, but does not practice it. It's a righteousness that is good at teaching people what to do, but does not do what it is teaching. It's that kind of righteousness. It's a righteousness. It is a righteousness. It bears some fruit. So much so that in Matthew 23, the Lord Jesus says, do what they say, but don't do how they do. So this righteousness, that of the Pharisees, is a righteousness that is tainted with hypocrisy. So the Lord Jesus put it this way. He said, when... Avoid the teaching. He called it the leaven. And then when his disciples were confused, he explained the yeast, the leaven of the Pharisees. And what is that? What they mix into their bread. The bread represents food, teaching, teachings in the spirit. There's a kind of yeast the Pharisees put into their own bread. It is hypocrisy. Say, but do not practice. There's a kind of yeast the Sadducees put into their bread. It is unbelief. So their word of God, they bring the teaching of the Bible. Any verse they teach, but it's mixed there with. Now, we are not saying that when you're sick, you shouldn't run to the hospital immediately. They always qualify the miracle, spiritual dimension of the word of God. So that's the Pharisee yeast. They mix it into their teachings. Then there's the yeast of Herod, politics, choose party spirit. Which side are you on? Are you amongst those supporting the church splitting or the, you know? So whatever you're hearing, they are the ones that you're preaching and teaching. They take everything you say and mix in. Do you know why he's saying that? See, have you heard that? The other assistant pastor, they want to pick this one. So this one is now, you understand? Constantly. So those are people, different kind, the three kinds of yeast that Jesus warned about. Pharisees, Sadducees, and Herod. The Lord Jesus' yeast has none of that. Has none of that. You find that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And in the Lord Jesus' own, it's called the sincere to celebrate the Pharisee. He said, let us celebrate the feast without the yeast of wickedness. It's a sincere, unleavened bread. It tells you it's unleavened bread of sincerity and of truth. It doesn't take sides. Okay, verse 8, 1 Corinthians 5. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old bread. Depends on which bread you were eating. Pharisee bread, Sadducee bread, Herodian bread. In this house, we serve the unleavened bread of sincerity and of truth. People struggle with it. They want you to take a side. Why are you not against the president? Why are you not for this one? Why are you not, you know? No, we don't do Herod bread here. Why are you not, everybody knows you should be, you know, there's nobody that doesn't have their weakness. So you must go behind and choose a weakness and have it. So you can be a Pharisee. Say, see, as you're seeing, listen, let me tell you, there's no man of God. Don't tell me anything. There's no man of God. One of our people, someone was telling me, someone went to get married. From the wedding, from the marriage registry, the person in charge there, whom I bind the spirit behind her in Jesus' name, amen. The name of Jesus was telling her, listen, don't mind this man, all of them, not one is good, not one. That's how me, I thought it. Say, imagine plant, that's your wedding gift. They give you that as your signing document. They have planted doubt and fear and unbelief in your heart. Say, there's no man, forget it. Leave how they appear. None, all of them are up to hanky-panky behind. They are doing something. He goes into her soul and he sits there and then starts growing. Yeast has been mixed in. Meanwhile, they'll smile, collect money, take pictures, and destroy your marriage before it is born. Let us keep the feast, not with the old bread, leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and of truth. Every time you break bread, that's what you're conveying. Every time we break bread, one of the pictures you're commemorating, you're saying, hey, I am a child of God. You are saying, as we are sitting here to eat bread with each other, as they sat with Jesus, the 12, there was one person there that had the yeast of the Pharisees. Right there. Jesus said, the one I'm going to give this bread now. And he told him, 1 Corinthians 11, whoever eats and drinks this unworthily is eating judgment. As he collected, the Bible says, Satan entered Judas's heart. And he got up from there and left and went to the Pharisees. Give me money. The Bible tells you that the Pharisees, Matthew 16, I believe it is, loved money. So one of the ways to ensure that you are a yeast of the Pharisees proponent is that you love money. He left there for money. He went and got 30 pieces of silver, a price of a servant, for our Lord and Maker, the Creator. He got it for his head. For money. Money he could not use. Today it's the same. There are people, oh, they come like they are coming to preach the gospel, tell you the truth. They are there for the money. If you preach long enough, faithful enough, gather a crowd large enough, you're going to be rich enough. It's a matter of time. Impress enough. Carry your gift package. Use it and bamboozle enough. With time, the money will come. Make it complicated. The more complicated you are, the more difficult, the more your chances of enjoying the wages of sin and death. You don't know what? It doesn't ever work alone. You can never see sin show up and death is not close by. If nowhere else, check his pocket with death inside. You never saw sin show up without death present. I don't care what color the sin was or what perfume he used. Is sin in your compound? Death is too. The Lord Jesus wants us to preach, eat, feast. This feast we are celebrating, the feast of Passover, Jesus our Christ, Pentecost. Do it in sincerity and truth. Let there be none of these mixtures because we all came from somewhere, different churches, different backgrounds, different families, you've had different experiences. Those things leave their marks. Those are the things that when you know how yeast does not show till you mix it in. When you mix it, when yeast is sitting on its own, it's just there. When you mix it into the dough, then it begins to rise. When you put it under pressure, you call it heat. It really shows its full color, yes? You see how it works? So you can't know what kind of yeast is in someone till you put them under pressure. Have you wondered why God allows you to go under pressure? It's to show you the quality of yeast you have imbibed. What kinds of teachings are you carrying in your heart? Which ones have you held on to? You can see people, they sit like this in thousands in every congregation around the world. You cannot know what they've been feeding on, what kind of teachings they believe in, until you've given them time. See if they will swell. And then put them in hot situations. Watch what comes out. Ah, I'm not married. Then you watch what they do. They say, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. See, I know, but God forgive me. You know, there are men that will not marry except they've slept with you. So it's not, I'm going to ask God to forgive me. Am I the only son? I don't have time to say it. So that's how I just finished the point. You get the point. Is there anybody that didn't get the point? So why use words when we can use tongues? So you get the point. So you say these things. Oh, things are tough. I have mouths to feed. I have parents. I have siblings. I have children. People are looking up to me. Please, it's too hot here. And the beliefs you have hidden inside you, the yeast begins to show. And now you're compromising, telling lies, doing abortions. I would have lost my job. Bros, lose the job. Lose the job. Which job? When you're about to lose your life, what's a job? Lose the job. It's not easy. How will I survive in this Lagos? Move to this Uyo. You see how easy that is. For everything, God allows you to come into a hot situation. He wants to see what you really believe. It's called the testing or trial of your faith. That's what it is. So he puts you in the oven and you scream, if God didn't want me, would he? And God is like, it's exactly because I want to prove how you're doing. It's the testing of your faith. So I demand that you do not compromise. I will allow you to be there till it's hot enough. How many of you know you don't toss bread into the oven and bring it out? Now, if they allowed some of you, when you were younger, you would, what's this thing for self? Bam. Is it done? It's warm. I think it's done. You start eating the raw dough. God has self-control more than all of you on earth. So I can assure you God can wait till it's done. Even checks, is it hot enough? Increase. So, that's when they check. It's not rising. It looks like it'll be whitish. I don't want white bread. I want brown. Crisp, crunchy. So they increase. You thought it was bad till it got worse. And then instead of saying, wow, God really wants me well cooked, you say, God has abandoned me. It's the opposite. God is trying to bring out bread that can be served to kings. Doesn't want raw flour, dough. Things that people, I went for a wedding many years ago. Duh. It's well. Who has had the privilege of eating raw cake before? Anybody? I cannot suffer alone. Misery loves company. So we are up to 7 here in this hall. You know they iced it well. Say hypocrisy. That is it. Well iced. Nice. The cake. Mwah. And girls there will be talking, wow, this is the kind of cake I'll do. Go, if you try it. Fine cake. They brought it. Babe, where are you there? It was raw. I've never seen such a thing in my life. But they iced it nicely. Now, I think maybe the person said, I don't know what I... It was this person's wedding, Abby. No, you need to. I want this story. It's almost how many years? 10 years plus. No, no. That film has not ended. I need to close that chapter in my heart. I want to know what she did with the person she paid. What do you do with that? They served raw cake. Nobody. Okay. If there are children there, there's nothing children cannot do. I want to say that, why can't I eat it? People must have eaten it. It was horrible. It was not cake. It was raw. So obviously, I don't know what happened. Probably it failed. And then maybe she was baking that morning. No, there's no way it could have been the night before now. Because would she bring it for the wedding? Who would bring raw cake for a wedding? So it must have been some last minute thing. A person went like, we're there here. And brought it, iced it nicely, and served it to guests. When they could have just refused to serve it. Which makes sense. After all, you ever gone for a wedding, they give you cake. You live there, the worst is you quarrel. Then you go and wed your own. But where's the... They served it. They had the audacity to serve it. Anyways, that is how the Pharisee righteousness is. It's an external thing. It's concerned with what do people think about me? What will people say? What will people think? What will people think? I've always said, don't care about what people think as much as what is. Care about what is, not what people think. What is reality? Because if your righteousness does not exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. We read it. Who said this? The Lord Jesus. Matthew 5 verse 20. He started from verse 18 into 19. But verse 19 tells you that when you teach people and do the right thing, you'll be greatest. When you teach people to disobey the least of the laws of God, and you too break it. So then, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do likewise will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that terrible? Then the next verse says, if you do Pharisee righteousness, you not even enter. For I tell you that unless your righteousness exceeds, in a day and time where people say, no, you don't have to do righteousness. Jesus did it. What does it mean by exceeding? Who knows English here? Do you know what it means to exceed something? If my gift exceeds yours, it means you gave 5,000. I came and gave 10. That's what it means. It says the Pharisee's righteousness is a certain level, like 5,000. God is like, if you come with 5,000, you not enter the kingdom of heaven. The righteousness I expect you to show up with must be more than. So righteousness is a measurable quality. It's not general. All of us are righteous the same in Jesus' eyes. Stop listening to false grace teachers. They will kill you. You will stand before God. You will regret and rue the day you didn't listen to this while you still had a chance. You will regret it. God will help the church. I know many. I mean, many are called. Only few are chosen. So I don't deceive myself and say, yes, let's do our best. We are going to save all those who believe in a false grace. No, many are called. Few are chosen. But we do our best. We tell the truth. We'll tell the truth. We'll put out the truth however we can. I encourage you. You're listening to us. We are publishing booklets, small books on these different things. These things that people take for granted. Things that people like, no, everybody knows. No, you are wrong. That thing everybody knows is wrong. Have you ever checked it out? No, I was told. Don't be told. I was responding to a comment on YouTube the other day. I don't know if the person has responded, you know, but thank God I saw it. I normally wouldn't see this thing. But our team posted something on Wretched Truth, on the law. How many of you are following Wretched Truth Thinking Thursday? It's very short now. You can go and be following it now. It's one slide. In fact, it's one sentence. So come back. Jesus forgives you. Come back. How did I tell you to come and be thinking for real? I now wrote plenty. Forgive me. Stay up late at night writing plenty. When people want you to think for them. So that one was me thinking for you Thursday. I told the workers, stop this thing. Let people think. I kept telling happiness. Yes, yes. I said, this is not thinking. This is me thinking. They had to do the thinking. They said, no, Bible study, Bible study, Bible study. So you should have been Bible study Thursday. Now it is Thinking Thursday. One verse, you're on. So if you haven't signed into Red Chair Truth, every day there's something, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We'll change some other things too, but for now, I'm happy with the Thursdays. One line, and then scriptures. Now you go and think. Think what you like. After all, I'm kind enough to give you scriptures. If you can't think it up, next Thursday we'll think again. I keep adding something. Keep adding something. So when you, again, you stand in front of Jesus, you will, now, that person, God bless whoever it is, happened to respond and said, oh, he wanted to, you know, typical, began to respond to what I said about the law. If the law is passed, why under the new covenant is it said that the law is good, perfect, and holy? And the person, oh, you know, went off in the direction that everybody goes. Not everybody, but many people. Ah, no. You know, Jesus came and became our righteousness, so everybody is equal in front. Everybody is nothing of the sort. You just read there that in Matthew 5:19, that there are people who will be greatest in the kingdom and those that will be the least. And you still have the lack of presence of mind to keep saying everybody will be equal. In Jesus, we are equal. It couldn't be clearer that you are not equal. But, you know, there's something that happens if you hear a lie long enough. You might start believing it. And you stop thinking. And I've told you the antidote to that is what brought me to where I am today. Beginning in the late 90s, I formed a good habit of reading the Bible and searching out things to see if what I'm hearing is so. Just doing that with a pen and a book, just writing, when you see something that doesn't jive, doesn't flow together, you note it down. Then if possible, you look at it again. Ask someone. I used to study myself. Get a concordance of some. You have a food, you know. Connect the similar scriptures. The truth will start emerging till you have an opinion of your own. And you say, but the Bible says, I have seen it. Then you come across the ones that seem like contradictions. Some will take some time. I told you some things I understood 17 years later. Some 20, 25. Here I am, 36 years since I gave my life to Christ. I'm still going, ah. So you're going to have to take your time. But you want to be able to appear to know the truth, the Pharisee, appearance. So when anyone says anything, you say, well, listen. Then you start parroting what you've heard all your life. I used to do that. I wasn't a Pharisee. I just thought it was right. Till you read for yourself. Some people think that the more anointing and power you're preaching, it means the more you know. No, you couldn't be further from the truth. That is like Jesus saying the Pharisees sit in the seat of Moses in Matthew 23. And it means because they sat in the seat of authority. That means everything they said was true. No, you couldn't be further from the truth. When they came around Jesus, he adjusted their belief. He adjusted. And they were humble enough in that generation. When he would challenge them, the few times he challenged their false teaching, the Bible says they kept quiet and left. This generation, they don't keep quiet and leave. So this generation is in far deeper trouble than you condemn the Pharisees who killed Jesus. But Jesus could give them one and they shut up and leave. This generation will stand and shout. Even when they can't answer, they will still stand and be talking. If the ones who used to agree killed him, what do you think you do? Do you know the conditions for following the Antichrist? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 10, because you don't have a love for the truth. That's all. Your hatred for truth. And with every wicked deception directed against those who are perishing. Read.
Because they refused the love of the truth that would have saved them.
Now, if you read from verse 8 down, you see. Bible says that the lawless one, the one you think of as the Antichrist normally, that he's going to be revealed and he's going to manifest power. In verse 9, every kind of power, sign, and false wonder. So his coming will be accompanied by the walking, the person that will be energizing him. That's the word behind the energy, something, Zimai. Energizing him. The energy of Satan is going to manifest in what? Every kind of
power,
sign,
and false wonder.
So you what you're attracted to is power, authority, loser. I bind you. That impresses you without end. But you see, there's something they lack. You find it in that 10th verse. What they lack is a love of the truth. Because what saves you is not the signs, the wonders, and the miracles. What saves you is what? The truth. You shall know the truth. And the truth will set you free, save you. The truth is what frees, not the signs and wonders and miracles. Now, what can signs and wonders and miracles, when it comes from God, save you from? From usually physical circumstances and psychological. But if you want total freedom, the real deal, what you want is the truth. And the truth has power to set you free too. The truth accompanied by signs, wonders, and miracles. Not a lie. Now, what does the Bible say happened? He says, because they refuse to love the truth. Verse 11. For this reason, God will send them a powerful delusion so that they believe the lie. Satan is going to walk this earth through his primary substitute for Jesus Christ. Antichrist, anti-substitute Christ. One shall come and claim to be Christ. And he will be followed by the majority of Christians. Hear it and fear. Hear it today and be afraid today. While you say, no, I cannot follow him. You follow the ones that are faking miracles. You follow the ones who pretend. You follow the ones who don't know Bible. You follow all sorts. What will you do when you come and the one that will lift his hand like this and a building will lift? What will happen all over the churches of God? They are finished following him. The time has not come. When that time comes, a generation that worships signs, wonders, and miracles, and does not care about truth. Come, let's go to that church. They stay too long. Bible. Talk. Open Bible verse. 50. Who opens 50 Bible verses? The church I am from. 2 or 3 verses. Brethren, today I'll not keep you long. Who has ever been to a church like that before? This is everybody now. You will not keep them long. Jesus kept them for 3 days. 3 days. He taught for so long. He said, if they walk home, they will faint. Bring bread. Nobody told you that they were tired. Jesus, the one who kept them, said, people may drop on the way home. Have I ever kept you till you want to drop? Never. Nobody came out that day and thought they would stay that long. Nobody. They stayed. Night came. What do you think was happening at night? What do you think happened in the morning? Why didn't they leave? You had a meeting till night. Morning came. He didn't up and go. What happened? Twice. They kept staying. You don't even understand our God yet. He stands, I suspect, in the morning. You know, once upon a time, that's what is waking you up. He's talking again. Till night. Then he did it again. Third day. I don't want to send them away hungry or they may faint. Don't read Matthew 15 stories. He said, I have compassion for this crowd. Verse 32. Matthew 15 verse 32. Read it.
I have compassion for this
crowd. No, start from the beginning.
Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for this crowd.
That's when the pastor stops and calls the leaders. Come. He has compassion. Who caused it? He shows it's not him because he had compassion on them. Yes?
Because they have already been with me 3 days.
Some of you would have been saying, doesn't he know? Doesn't he know? There are children here. Doesn't he know? Always wanting. So God should not put you in his oven and check. People do not understand. There's something I'm going to announce. I've remembered. I'll announce now about our school of ministry. Yes, sir. I'll remember. Go on.
Because they have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat.
How many of you would have grumbled in between and complained? Say, no, now you have to understand reality. The preacher, you can't do this with people. Keep people from morning till night. No, this 3 days. Find Jesus and slap him. A hypocritical generation. I don't know. See, this Bible, me, I read it, and it reformed my mind. The Bible calls it the renewing of your mind. Your brain should work differently if you have been with Jesus. When you have not been around Jesus, every common opinion is your opinion. And now, what time did they? No, it's passing notes now. Tell them. You have to be realistic. It sounds so sensible. Did they know Jesus had 3 years? Look at me. Did they know Jesus had 3 years to spend? 3 years of ministry only. He came to save the world. He had 3 years to do it. 3 years to train people. 3 years. So in between that, I can assure you, he'll put you in the oven and check. Those that left, left. He put them. He let it stay there. People in this our church, small, the few hours we spent, people have gone through it. They went, almost everybody that came went through it. Where they got offended till they got tired of getting offended till offense died. Then they were in limbo. That there's a neutral place. Then the time came, they started enjoying it. Then the time came, they forgot. A time came when you finish the meeting by 3 o'clock, come out by 6, they are still here. 7 years ago, when we were in another place, I'll go to my house in the same compound where I'm meeting up, you know, and then I'll come out later. See, human beings, I'm wondering, you have not gone since. So a time comes where they even refuse to leave. What about hunger? I told you the other day, that's how ulcer was healed in so many. God looks down, has compassion, and says, you're willing to, okay. I guess we should heal your tummy lining since you're now using your stomach for me. Before now, we don't know what we're using it for. Before now, your God was your belly. But now your God is no more your belly. I'm going to do something about that. Where are those people I pray for ulcer on Sunday? Let me see. Also, those people that raise their hands, I pray about against ulcer. So how many of you out of these few hands in this hall? How many of you believe you have been healed? Don't raise your hand by don't do that thing. Say, by faith, I believe. Mm-mm. You've been in conditions where you should have felt the biting, but you are not feeling it. Let me see your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So I saw about 8 hands or 9 before. You believe, like you've seen manifestation of healing between Sunday and now. Isn't God good? God can do anything. So when he doesn't do it, he's trying to make a point. You think you're going to have fed them on day one? From what you saw, this multiplying bread thing, do you think he's from that day he started? The first time Jesus came out in John 2, first time he showed up in an occasion, didn't his mother make him multiply food? The first time. And he said, it's not time. I've told you, is it not obvious Jesus used to do this thing at home? So he had the ability from day one. So who is it that has capacity to feed people and keeps it till after the third day? Say Jesus now. Why are you looking at? Is it me? Have I done this to you before? What's this? Don't accuse me for it. Jesus has the capacity to be able to do something and not do it. For all of you that say, if God can watch, if there's really God, how could God keep quiet and watch? Look at them body. You haven't seen anything. What are you talking about? If God can, there's nothing God can do. And God has the full capacity to watch something happen and do absolutely nothing. God has plans that are bigger than your feelings. Very big plans. God's plans are worldwide. How big are your plans? Should I pass notes? What are your plans? God's plans are big plans. There's nobody you know with a big plan. Elon Musk, nobody. Nobody has a big plan. All their plans are nothing. The whole earth is a drop in a bucket for God. God's plans are the big plans. Earth is one of the places a plan is working out. You know the earth is his footstool. You cannot look at someone sitting on a throne and tell him that his only concern is his footstool. Okay, leave it. Leave it. You don't look down. Look at all the microorganisms inside my footstool. They'll be saying, where's God? See, I know as I'm shouting now, heaven is shaking. Really? And the bacteria on your spoon shout, you shake. I really enjoy that message whenever I preach about how small we are. 7 billion in a footstool. Your size. The kind of microscope they need to see you first. Then God became one of your microorganism size. Came and lived with you. And started saying, I love you. Let me share how to walk. You know, I said, no, leave me alone. See, as you see me here, nobody can force me. They don't need to force you. They don't need to blow. Force you. Tiny things. Tiny, tiny, minuscule things that God came and died for. Why would he think? So when you're singing Psalm 8, what is man that you're mindful of him? Better sing with understanding. What's your size? 8 billion of you in a footstool. The day we calculated it, we saw that on earth, the space on earth that is occupied by man was about 14%. 70% is covered by water. Another, 80-something percent is uninhabited land. Human beings don't live on it. Deserts, all sorts of things. It's about 14%, if I remember rightly. 14% that human beings, 8 billion creatures live on. So draw a circle. Measure everything. Out of 30%, identify 14% of 30% left of that circle. Then squeeze in 8 billion things into it. Whatever it is, that's the size. That's your size under God's, where God's leg is. That's for perspective. Somebody will go and draw, someone will do something about this someday and send to me who talked about it first. People, God loves us. So don't blame him too much when he says, ah, they might faint too. Let's give them something to eat. Have compassion for this crowd. They've already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may faint along the way. Then he turned, is there any, he knew what he was going to do. Some people start using their brain in God's presence. Say, bring it. He prayed. He blessed God. He didn't bless the food. He blessed God. And he began breaking. And went on like that. The same way you put in one grain of seed in the ground and a corn cob comes out with hundreds of seeds. What's the big deal? This is the guy behind that plan. So what's it? So he's just doing like that. And he just keeps predicting because it's his hands. He's the creator. It's the hands that the thing is in that matters, not the thing. You see, we do the opposite. We look at the thing in his hand. No, you should look at for the hands. When anything enters the hands of the creator, it has the ability to multiply. So you're questioning God. What will you do? God, why? God, what? You just need to be in his hand space. There's nothing. He touches that hand. It lives. He walks in. Peter's mother-in-law is sick. So he touches her. Jenny, have you sick? Everybody's healthy on this side. Everybody's healthy on this side. I'm not passing this place. He touches her. The Bible says the fever leaves. You know how? So when he touches lack leaves. When he touches sin, your sins are remitted. Sin leaves. When he touches sickness leaves. It's the hand. It's the hand. When you can contact the hand of the Son of God, you're in a good place. It's his hands that manifest his authority. The scepter is wielded from his hand. But the best way to find him is not by looking for his hand. You look for his face. Why he doesn't like showing what his hands can do too much is that those who have seen his mighty hand have still been known to turn their hearts away from him. The biggest example, the largest group that illustrate this are the Israelites. His hand, the sea opened. His hand, hailstones fell. His hand, all sorts of, he said, Pharaoh will see my mighty hand. He said that he delivered them with a great hand. Have you read that before? And of raised arm. So when the hand moves, things happen. That's what you call the signs, the wonders, the miracles. The God has no problem raising his hand, but he will rather you beheld his face. Why we constantly pray in this church about his face? Why we are constantly saying that let's see your face? It's not that I'm aware of the hand of God. It's the hand of power. But those who run after hands, the Bible says wealth and honor are in his hands. In his right hand. His left hand. That's in his left hand. That's where you find money or wealth. Left. Because even those hands, they demonstrate different things. Proverbs 3:16. Talking about wisdom. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. So those who want money, you don't even just look for any hand. Look for the left one. But you want eternal life, look for the right hand. Long life, healing, deliverances. But above all of that, better than any of that, is his face. We want all. We don't want only his face, yes? We want his hands too, yes? But his face, it's in the countenance of the king. It's in his countenance. Proverbs 19, Proverbs, I think, 21, all over the scriptures. You know, it's in his face. His face is like the promise of rain. It's in his face. It's also his face that will drive away all your enemies. It's from his face that his rage, when he looks, the enemies that oppress you are driven away. It's his face. When you behold the Lord's face, wonderful things begin to happen. It precedes rain. It precedes an outpouring, not just of one drop or two, but a saturation of his glory. The Bible says you behold the beauty, the glory of God in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6. It says you behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Is it 4, 6 or 6, 4? 4, 6. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where?
In the face of Jesus Christ.
What do you get in the face of Jesus? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Ephesians 1 verse 17 and 18 and 19 says you should pray. And what are you praying for? That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. That you might know what is the hope of his glory. The hope of his glory. Everything that the true child of God, your glorious inheritance, everything, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. You want to know what he has in store for you. It's in his face you find it. You don't find it in his hand. Solomon found God's left hand. God promised Solomon his left hand, even long life, some of his right hand, and honor, riches and honor. He said, Solomon, I'm going to give you my hand. I'm going to give my hand. Do you know why he didn't get the face? You walk for the face. You seek his face. You didn't hear me? To find the face of the Lord, you seek it. He tell them, you ask for wisdom. Because you did this, I'm also going to give you riches and glory. I'll give you this, I'll give you that. I'm just going to open up. You ask for my right hand. You ask for long life. You ask for wisdom, sorry. You didn't ask for long life. You didn't ask for victory over enemies. You didn't ask for riches and honor. So I'll give you that too. If he had known, he would have done what his father did. You know, too many people come not learning from those who went before them. That's 2 Chronicles 1 verse 11. You see God talking. You can read it down. And then he goes on to say, I'll give you this. What Solomon should have done is what David did. In what? Which Psalm? 27th Psalm? Verse 8. Verse 4 and verse 8. What does it say? One thing.
One thing I have asked of the Lord.
How many things?
One thing.
One.
This is what I desire.
To be the richest man on earth. Oh, sorry.
To dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life.
Everyone.
To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple.
Verse 8. My heart said, seek his face. Your face, O Lord,
I will seek.
Not your hands, not bread, not wealth, not riches. All over the world, people have turned God into the God of the hand, but he's the God of the face. It's those who pursue holiness that see his face. Why? What do the angels that behold his glory constantly say? Not riches, riches, riches. You can tell. They don't say long life, long life, long life, but they've just kept living. They don't say honor. No, they say holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. If you will pursue the face of the Lord, you must be holy as he is holy. The word holy means to be set apart, separated, untainted. The willingness to separate yourself from that which I've told you, the opposite of holy is not dirty and defiled. The opposite of holy is ordinary. There are three categories of existence. There's filthy, dirty. There's ordinary. There's holy. With God, you don't just become ordinary. Some people, you were filthy before. Then you're trying to be ordinary. And you're like, I've arrived. No, sir. No, ma'am. Mm-mm. That's not holiness. Holiness means you come to where there are ordinary people living ordinary lives. They are not dirty and messed up. They're just there. You move away from the company of those just there to the company of those separated. That's what holy means. God is holy. God is not common. The word profane, your King James, is the word common, ordinary. She's an ordinary man. She's not a bad man. She's not a bad girl. But she's ordinary. No, she doesn't sleep around. She's not a filthy girl. She's just there. Are you holy? There's more. It's the next stage. God is holy, set apart, distinct from the crowd, unique, sui generis, in a category of his own. He says that you are meant to seek his face. That will put you on a journey of holiness, and you will move away from what everyone does it. Someone that is pursuing holiness can never say everyone does it. It's not possible. That's your ordinary. Even if you say every Christian does it, you're an ordinary Christian. And you're praising yourself, finding yourself. I've tried, though. You don't understand. I've tried. Now, in the journey from a filthy life, a messed up life, on your way to holiness, you pass through the area called ordinary. Please be coming. But you dare not park there and say, I've arrived. That is why many Christians fall back to filth. Because you stopped at ordinary. The next bus stop is filth, impurity. If you want to get to holiness, you must get to ordinary. Everybody, ordinary person uses a morning devotional, reads two verses, prays for 5, 10 minutes, 15, prays ordinary prayers, then goes into an ordinary job, living an ordinary life. You talk ordinarily. Everyone talks like this. You're just ordinary. You want more? There will be separation. That separation, I've shared with you many times, is not theoretical, it's physical. It's not only in your mind. It's also physical. When I've shared my story and any other person, that little extra, it's not like I was trying. I didn't know all these things. I didn't understand this. In fact, it's from being set apart, pursuing holiness, that I got to learn these things. All I need is I heard a servant of God, read it in a Christian book, and he said, oh, I spend some time seeking the Lord twice a week. I'll fast and pray as a preacher. He was a full-time preacher. He can do that twice a week. I was a student in the university. The year was 1998. What did I learn? I'll come back on a Sunday. I say, you know what? Every Sunday, I'm not going to come back and go and eat. I will fast till 6 o'clock. That's what led to the separation. And I'll go upstairs to an empty room, a storeroom. That was the only private place. And stay inside it. In spite of my aversion for dust and the like, I would go there with a Bible and later on a notebook and a mat. Because you couldn't move. It was a store. Something that stops us from finding God oftentimes. Convenience. You want things to be perfect. Oh, may God give us desires that trump our convenience. And in that place, sometimes I'll lie down, I'll read the Bible. Someday I'll sleep off. Then wake up, read it, pray a little, and go. 6 o'clock. But gradually, till a time came. It came very ordinary. Till you look back and years have gone by, and you spend that time in the Lord's face. And that time is the time the Lord begins to say, come, let me tell you something. Did you notice that as you're reading that portion? Did you notice that? And you're, and like, yeah, next week when I come, I'll continue. And you take your time. Then the time came, you don't wait till next week. Every morning, your morning devotion. Till the time came, my Bible study time every morning as a student was 1 hour. 1 hour for prayer and 1 hour for Bible study. Every morning. So now what you have is a bigger chunk. And now it's flowing. The river flows. When the river flows like that, truth is coming in waves. And it's doing something inside you. It's purifying you. It's transforming you. It's showing you how God thinks. Showing you how God thinks. I heard something yesterday or so. I wish I noted it down. But they said they found out that people who read the Bible at least 4 times a week. This is an American vlogger saying this. They found out that those who just look at the Bible spend some time at least 4 times a week. That everything, every aspect of their life is better than those who don't. It wasn't like a Christian study. I don't know. I don't think it was a Christian study. It sounded like just some thing they found out. They, you know, asked different questions. Different areas of their life was just better. Now, you know, I don't come from that angle. I come from the Bible says, but it was very interesting to hear. And so you have too many people. You want things to be better, but all you want to do, I said it last Sunday too, want to talk, Was it last Sunday or the one before? Yes, last Sunday. You want to come to God and shout at God, and God will do what you want. No, I showed in Ecclesiastes 5. He says, when you come to his presence, come to listen more than to talk. He's in heaven, you're on earth. What are you going to say? So you spend time before him. You need to read that Bible aloud. Read it aloud. But the more you look at your Bible daily, you say, I'm reading from Matthew, I'm reading from Mark. You keep reading it. Things will just start changing. Miraculously, you'll be healthier. Everything, just change will happen. It's the power of the word of God. Where the word of the king is, Ecclesiastes says, there is power. So if you're in his space and his words are going forth, power will be hitting you. That power you're running after in a man of God's hand. Where's that man of God? I hear he's in Kano now. Let's travel. Ah, we got there. They say he has gone to Lagos. Yay! Ah, he has gone to UK. Follow now. Thank God many people are not as rich as they are. You would have been running after men of God every conference. And God is wondering, I don't understand. I'm in Uyo too. I'm here. He's the God of the whole earth. Do you understand these things? Let me make that announcement so I don't forget. Now, we have been doing training on evangelism, basic foundational teachings of Christ, shepherding, that's pastoral ministry, prophetic ministry, and teaching ministry. We've been doing it for years. Multiple groups within our congregation here have been trained in many, many ways. Because it's not been put across in a very formal way, you know, the average person, and because we don't do certificates, this is why I remember that I was laughing. You know, someone was saying that, well, more people would come for the trainings if we gave out certificates. That's why I carried the red pen. And I wrote there, blast certificate. So I'm going to take a while and blast foolishness called certificate. Now, you know the last time I cast out a demon was on Sunday. Yes? No? On Sunday, I cast out demons. I was standing here. You were here, right? I told you there will be discharges. People went back and we're having discharges. Stuff was happening. Every kind of thing went and happened. Online, physically, through the week. Just what I said will happen is happening. It's still happening. And people were shocked. I spoke about lineages, and people were shown in visions, encounters, taken back to lineages, bodies where they felt physically, as I was talking. The things I was saying here, I was talking about eggs, I was talking about all sorts of things. All of that was happening in people. Thank God it wasn't very boisterous, just lighter, you know, different rooms. But God was doing his thing. I told some people it won't be immediately. Some people up till yesterday, day before, 2 days ago, 3 days ago. Weird things are happening. Things that shouldn't happen, happening. Things are leaving people's bodies. Because God is cleansing his church. Now, I can't find the certificate I got to... I don't know if you've seen it. You see my certificate for deliverance, the School of Deliverance Ministry. Please, bring it. This Bible I've been teaching, I can't find the teaching this thing on too. Please, if you find any of my certificates anywhere, just permission to teach, permission to cast out demons, permission to evangelize, permission to be prophetic. Ah, the church of God. To be foolish is not a small thing. So when someone told me, he said that if he would give certificates, more people come. Even if I was tempted to think of doing something, all I can imagine is some backslidden character going to a place and bring out certificates with God's lighthouse. Say, see, I've done this. Oh, I'm give all of these graces. I've operated in it. I'm an apostle. Oh, they wouldn't give you. If you know my pastor, check him online. If you know this church, they would never give you a certificate if you are not qualified. What happens if you disqualify yourself? Will the certificates burn themselves? No. You still use it to be, God forbid that I'm connected to Utoto. U-T-O-T-O. Utoto. To 419. To a crook. A fraud. Why do I need a certificate to do anything? Bring, show me Peter's certificate. Or James and Johnson. All over. You're listening to all these white people. That sad you see that are sad and you can see it. Sad and you see people online. His qualifications, even charismatics, Pentecostals, they talk like that. Jesus, they looked at Jesus and said, this man has not learned letters. Where did he get this kind of authority? Jesus did not attend their theological schools. Jesus Christ. It was so clear that he did not attend it that they said it. John 7:15. Everyone, the Jews were amazed and asked, how did this man attain such learning without having studied? The maker of heaven and earth, our Lord and Savior, through whom we all pass, refused to attend the recognized theological training schools. Then you people, you sat down and say, well, it's okay. You know, this is 2020 something. Jesus, you know, there has to be advances. You didn't learn anything because Jesus is not the one you imitate. You imitate, you know who you imitate. Me, I imitate Jesus. He saw Peter, he saw James, he saw John. After he rose from the dead and left, they looked at his disciples and all agreed that they did not go to school. Who has read it? In the Acts of the Apostles. So like, the servant is not greater than his, the disciple is not greater than his master. The disciple is not greater than his master, or the servant than his Lord. So Jesus no go school. The apostles no go school. The only one that went to school was Paul. How did that go? Acts 4:13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, read, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they marveled and took note that these men had been with Jesus. What's the principle and the qualification for ministry? Being with Jesus. If you like, waste your life. Now, you might say, hey, what's he saying? I thought they have a school of ministry. Yes, we do. What do we do there? You should check it out. What do we do in us? Go online. Now, some of the content there is futuristic. Some, with time, I'll change it. It's as the Holy Spirit leads. What is the content? Go on our YouTube. There's a portal we've created for free access. If you go to God's Army Mobilizing, that website has not been launched, but it has more content than you can believe. It's packed. And you're free to go to it because we'll not be there building website. Jesus now comes and says, this website, who do you make it for? I've come and caught you. You're still building website. God's Army Mobilizing is a worldwide outreach where you can have the stuff that is amazing. We are linking the portal to GAMCA, God's Army Mobilizing Kingdom Academy. We are linking a portal that you can click in and, you know, we are still doing some work. And you access all the classes that have been already taught for free. Now, before now, it was still for free, but the registration process, very tiny, I don't know, 1,000 naira, nothing. Someone wants to give whatever you can give to help sustain it. We haven't had a semester for a while, but we have hundreds of hours already of training content. Okay, so there's a portal that is that, I'm trying to see if that portal is showing yet. Is this the highest you can? Okay, so it's not really scroll down, let me see. Just scroll all the way down. Uh-huh. Okay, good. We are still in the process of you know, so there will be a simple, it might be there, and I'm not saying simple, and you click on it and it'll take you to the school, to GAMCA. Now you can show open GAMCA too. You know, the God's Army Mobilizing Kingdom Academy. You know, so in God's Army Mobilizing, which is just the general thing for everyone, you know, it's very thorough, it's very you know, it just has a lot. That I wasn't trying to introduce this, but you access every class we've had, the videos of every class we have. You have access to the audios. We are still working on the videos, editing them, but there's already a good number done. Start from the very beginning, you know. And you can attend. It's a Bible school. Now, what's the difference between our Bible school and many other Bible schools? I know there are other Bible schools like us, but we are not following some complicated. You see how I preach. I'm not interested in impressing you. I'm not a Pharisee. I'm interested in passing the truth. The truth makes you free. The more truth you have, the more authority you have, not just to be free, but to free others. So why do we train people? Not just so they can use it to free their own land, their own life, but to free others so you can fight battles and free others too. And with time, we can free the church, then free the world. It's what Jesus came for. It's what we are meant to do. Jesus said, go out into all the world and preach the good news to every creature. So we should be able to bring good news. Good news is words, peace to our hearts. But you can also bring peace to someone's belly that has ulcers. And that horrible pain that they've suffered for 5 years, for 6 years stops. And it's no more. How is that not good news? Why would I have the ability to do that and not do it? So I might as well learn how to do it. You know, so if you go to the School of Ministry and you go, there's register now at the right corner there. Click, yeah. Register there, you know. The challenge is if you have not registered. I was looking for a way you don't even have to register, but for the sake of record, so we know you're in our school, that's it's very simple. You put your email address and a name, and then it will take you to another page. That's an application that normally you would have paid some tiny token to show some level of that you mean it. You know, it seems when people spend money, they take things seriously. It seems when they spend no money, they take it for granted. It's an affliction. It's very sad. But the Bible says freely we receive, so freely we give. You know, you can still give whatever you want to give, but unfortunately, most people despise things that are given for free, except food. Except physical food. But anything that is, so you see people spend lots of money. So this is the application, this thing. When you enter this, it will take you from there to, you know, and you see the apostolic Christological foundations. And then you're also going to see every other class we've done. Hundreds of hours of classes. It's a school. We made it a bit formal. I stood there and I thought on it. It's different from when I'm preaching like this. I'm touching on multiple things. With that one, I stick with the subject, multiple verses. When you stand up, you should have knowledge and understanding. Then you can go and practice what you learn. So it's much more organized. It's much more compressed. 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour, 20 minutes, 1 hour, 30 minutes, 2 hours. I'm not sure any class is really above 2 hours. It's about that range. It's usually 1 hour or so. Many, many classes. Touching on subjects with evidence in an organized way. What is this? How is this? Where does it come from? What does this like that? The Lord, so that's what we do in our Bible school. We take what God has taught us in meetings like this. We compress in a neat, firm form. We might be in a meeting like this for 3-4 hours, but in that one, it's squeezed into 1 hour. It's not in that meeting. I'm not casting out demons and doing all of that. I'm not going all prophetic. The one time or two I went prophetic is because a visitor came. You know, I can't really control that part. So a pastor's wife came. I didn't know the person. I didn't know anything. Someone went and brought a pastor's wife who praised the prophetic. All I need is, as I was teaching, for the first 1 hour, I said what was not on the... When the meeting ended, I was in my office and they brought, please, someone wants to see you. They came and the person sat there and started saying what I had finished saying. I was like, oh, so you were the one. You came to a Bible school class. You should come on Friday or Sunday. Don't come to my... Came and disrupted and started telling me, oh, my husband, he operates in the prophetic. And I'd taken 1 hour to talk about different kinds of pastors operating in the prophetic, how false prophetic, just off topic, 100%. But it wasn't off topic. It was for her, the Holy Ghost, when, like, attend to this, my daughter. All her questions had been answered before she came. Other than that, those classes have few people, and they are usually people from our church. I look back now, when we started those classes, I expected outsiders a lot, but I look back now, I give God glory. Can you imagine what would have happened to me if you're bringing outsiders every time? No class would have been, every class would be like our normal meetings, because I'll spend my time preaching different people. Isn't God wise? I like God though. They used to be few. So in any meeting, the fewer they are, the less distracted I am. I'm not physically distracted. It's my spirit. The words that come in the direction of the people in the crowd. So because they're usually, when they are many, 20, but normally about 15, 10, and older people. So, you know, in that atmosphere, I can teach and stick to topic. Once you bring in a strange factor, the Holy Spirit has to pause. You know the principle. He said he leaves the 99 and goes after the one that is lost. He does it all the time. We've seen it here hundreds of times. You come for a meeting, we plan. This is the topic. That's why they can't have topics for me. Even now, this talk I'm talking. Even today, first thing I open my mouth, talked about Pharisees and all that. You know yourself. I don't know you. You know yourself. You came here. Pharisee. Let me abuse you small. Pharisee. Even if you're online, there's no difference. Change your ways. I have no notes on any of that. My topic is leprosy. I haven't touched it. But you're a Pharisee Christian. Repent. Externals. Externals. Externals are deceptive. Looking okay. So let me finish this. We will be having, we are looking at it, you know, we're working on it, tidying it up. Saturdays going forward are going to be a time where you come and you'll be attending one or the other. Some of you have gone through multiple. You've gone through PIT training. What's our PIT training? PIT, Prophetic Intercessory Team. But we'll call it Prophetic School Training. You know, we'll make some adjustments. I'm informing you ahead. You're online too. We already have the Prophetic Conclave, which taught about prophetic ministry, and there were activations too, right? People got gifts of the Spirit, began to have encounters, revelatory gifts, all at the end when I pray. So that's there. That's the composite of it. So that class already exists. That would be it. You come get to a stage and we say, okay, you're going to go through a prophetic ministry training. You go through all of those messages. You come Saturday mornings, likely 10 o'clock. Now, why this announcement is actually to our church group. I know visitors are here, but it's okay to hear. You know, we normally come on Saturday mornings about 8:30 and go out for evangelism. Evangelism is one of the dimensions we've been training in for some months now, yes? Beginning when? December? November, about November to December, January, February, March to April, about 5 months. I believe that season is coming to an end. Now, going forward, we are going to order it this way. Like we have the prophetic ministry trainings. We've been doing that. That one was 2017. That's when I started that, you know. And they served in the Sozo teams and all that. And we've merged it. But we're going to separate it. Sozo is, you know, is going to be under the SIT training. Shepherds in training. Shepherds is pastoral ministry. You know, so we have the pastoral ministry training. These are the things we train our people in. People learn to pastor other people, care for people, one or two others, or three or four, you know, and you're responsible for them. So that's pastoral training. This is how our school of ministry works. We are practical. You have the knowledge, lots of knowledge, plenty, hundreds of scriptures in your head, understanding. You ask questions, you get your answers. Then you practice it. The kingdom of God is not in word, it's in power. You don't just say it, you do it. So we've always been a doing church. So we are going to have, you know, let me give you a picture. You're going to come here on a Saturday morning, 10 o'clock on average. And when you come, you go to the class you are in. Some, there will be the videos. You're watching it. You're listening. You're going through the class. You're asking questions. You know, you have your instructors. Out of the four different halls we use in this building, and maybe even outside of this, we use, if it's not enough, you know, but there's the evangelism training. Evangelism training, I did that class, when was it, 2019 or so? 20, you know, 18, 18 ish, 19. You know, I think I'll do that again so it can be recorded on video properly. And then, but a lot of evangelism training is practical. So there will be those going through that. How many of you think you've learned evangelism in the last 5 months in a way you couldn't believe possible? You got to enjoy evangelism. You saw God. You saw God. You saw the prophetic and evangelism. You walk into places. You know things about people. Just amazing. You've had a great time. Enjoyed it. Come to enjoy. How many of you were in terror? You're like, I cannot. I'll die at the beginning. And that has changed. How many of you have learned what happens when you step out of the boat in faith? How many of you learned how you open your mouth? You didn't even know what you say first. The next time you catch yourself, it's 2 hours later. It's the person saying, I have to go out, I have to go out. So this is how it works. And this is how what we've experienced in all the areas. Whenever we've stepped out to obey God, you see wonderful things. So evangelism training will be one. They will come either they are in studying and they go out and practicalize. So if as new people come, this will be the normal cycle, okay? So you go through, you know, those that believe they are, everyone will go through all of this, but there are those that will settle on it, not just to practice it constantly, but to teach others, okay? They'll focus on that area. Some for a while, some for a year, some for two, you know. Then others, prophetic ministry. So what we call the PIT, you know, but without, not just that, you know, and they are learning what to do with prophetic giftings, what it is for. The Bible says, if they be prophets, let them intercede. You know, so you learn how to use your prophetic giftings. You learn how to put into practice. You learn to commit yourself. Again, there will be different periods. It won't just be Saturday mornings. I mean, there will be times you'll be having weddings. You don't want your weddings, your earthly things coming to disrupt our spiritual. So we'll work out something. We're going to work out. Some will be Saturday evenings. So you can marry in the morning, then you come out in the evening. You know, so we're going to work this out, you know. We'll have different days, different times, different groups, and we'll focus. Some will be evenings, nights, you know. So like when you have BBS, which is where you learn the foundational teachings. Now, also there's the TTC, the Teachers Training Corps, where you learn how to teach. All right, so at that same time, while a class can be happening, either you're interning, you're doing practicals by being in a class teaching or sitting in auditing a class, or you are in a class at the same time simulating, learning how to teach, learning about the teaching ministry. So that will be running. So the perfect picture I see is that you go through evangelism school training, then you go to teacher training, then you go to prophetic training. Are you seeing this? You go to pastoral, you go to where we give you people to take care of people that have been led to Christ. Either you led them to Christ or someone else. And you begin to encourage them and help them stand. All these different phases. You learn how to cast out demons. That is part of the package that will come with the shepherds in training. So your pastoral training, you have to. Pastors are the number one people to cast out demons, not prophets. You know, there's so many errors in the body of Christ. It's a person that stays with sheep that has to remove the things that are bothering the sheep. You're the one that looks at the sheep and knows the way this thing is. Kai, can I say it in a Bible? Is mucking. I just created a word. When you see someone muck, who does not know Bible? Who knows the Bible? When you see someone, sometimes it's the shape of the thing inside them. That's what the thing is doing. Yes, now you think it's them, they wouldn't do it. Their hair is too fine. Someone left their house, took time, brushed their hair, came out and started in something. Now it is shepherds that stay with sheep. You're the one that notices the sheep when it does. You notice it's not comfortable, it's not okay. You look at it for 2-3 days, you wonder, you're not okay. I think you need a salmon trainer. Come here. Father, is this something you need to tell me? And like most deliverances have happened, that's exactly how it is. You say, I've been having these dreams. I've been seeing this, and this and that. But it's from before. But did you ever confess it? So tell me, what? Okay, good. Now we're going to pray. Say, Father, I renounce. And then when they are done, the process. I rebuke you, spirit of this, you spirit of this, you spirit of this. Whether they sweat it out, whether they cough it out, whether they vomit it out, whether they thrash it out, whether they stand still, whatever process, the Lord brings deliverance. If it seems to be above you, then someone with more precise skill or authority that is not a trainee doctor can handle. And then you're like, oh, okay, how come when this one came, it was different? It's the same. So these things are real, but it's of the spirit realm. We've been doing these trainings for years. For those that are visiting with us, we are not just a hospital. Some churches only operate like a hospital. We are a barracks. We are a training school. We are a military cantonment. And we take it seriously. We've always been from the earliest days. You don't come here and stay and be ordinary. Our definition of ordinary is above average Christian experience. It's always been so. Many Christians have complained. It is what it is. If you can't endure a more military drive in your walk with God, you won't be comfortable. After a while, you run because you're a wimp. Sorry, you're weak. Did I say you're a wimp? Why did you say that? The Bible says we should bear with those that are weak amongst us. So you are weak, but the weak ought to become strong. So we try to make you strong. So by the time you're going through these different phases of training, at the end of it, how you should be within about a year of being here, if you're wholehearted, is you're going to be someone who knows how to study the Bible and dig up truth to feed on primarily, but who also has learned a bit. This is usually by the second year or so. To give it to others within about 2 years to three. The teaching comes later. Early ones are evangelism. Additional ones, you know. But phase by phase, you're supposed to grow till you can learn to understand the leading of the prophetic, the spirit of prophecy and what it's saying. You start at least to have an idea. Instead of spending 10 years or 20 years being a Christian and saying, well, God doesn't talk to me. Within 2 weeks, as has happened to so many, of being here, you might find yourself operating in prophetic grace. You wonder, how is that possible? Well, the gifts are not necessarily given because of how long you've been a Christian. And one of the most prominent gifts, the Bible calls it the best, one of the best gifts, is prophecy. He didn't say, I'll pour out my spirit and you prophesy. He said, I'll pour out my spirit and your sons and daughters will prophesy. So that's one of the gifts that is given even to the young. It's not till you're old that you, it's now teaching gifting is for when you're older, when you've grown to a certain, being a teacher, but prophesying, having prophetic leadings, dreams, visions, all that has nothing to do with age. Some people, you have that the day you're getting born again, you start having encounters because it's a gift and it's God's most popular, it's the major gift he wants his people to have. How, so he can speak to them and use them to speak to others too. So prophetic training, you learn to recognize it. You see how it operates. You understand it. You learn to use it in real life the way God really wanted. Not just once in 4 years a man of God comes into town. No, no, no. Every day, in every setting. We were looking for a place to rent for a family house because we have to exit one of our family houses. We got there, we looked at the place. We're wondering, should we take it or not? I don't like it so much, or we like it. It's nice like this, but we are not too sure. What do we do? There was the agent. I told the people, oh yeah, let's pray. Father, about 8-9 people. They came from their offices, from school, from that. Just all kinds of people, male and female. Just stood by the gate. No, we didn't even cover. Just pray, Father, should we take it or not? Yes? Almost everybody saying something. I saw an angel. I saw this. I saw that. You know, I'm sure the agent was just wondering, what? I've never seen them take a house like this. We just stood there, just asked. Now, that's how we've lived for years. I want us to be a people. So you know that the prophetic gift is not for church meeting. That's not how we use it. We use it everywhere. Simple. 30 seconds. Father, amen. And, you know, I saw, I heard, I this, I that. Just almost everybody. They were 8 people down there. I don't think anybody didn't say something or see something or get something. Just there. I had the impression, I sense. That's a function of the training that we've given here over the years. So this is an example of how our ministry school of ministry works. It's not for show. It's not for certificate. I deliberately refuse. It's nothing to print certificates. We can print it personally. We have fantastic graphic. We could do everything ourselves. Could give you 10 certificates this night. I'm not joking. I could print it out. We have the printer to print it out, colored with all the color, and give you. But what for? What on earth? What is wrong with Christians? Go and bring me Paul's certificate. Oh, he said he counted everything down. He must have burnt it. But Peter never had, I can assure you. James and John. What? So I told, you know, the brother that said it, who was just saying that that's their challenge. I said, I don't want to train any such person. I don't want to train Pharisees. I don't want to train any such person. May they not come in Jesus' name. May God find the lowly and bring them. Who don't care about appearances? You want a certificate to prove we trained you in prophetic gifting. I don't have any certificate, so why should I give you any? That's my assurance, you get none. Do I have? Pretend I'm jealous. I'm not, but I don't want to be connected to that which is ridiculous. Jesus is our teacher. When we come to teach, when we come to preach, all the things God has taught me, some of them I have books. God has not allowed me to read one page. I've not read one page. Books on this. Books on, I'll buy it and keep it. I haven't opened it, but I still hope to read them. I haven't opened it. My primary school has always been the Bible. I go in there. It's from there I dig it out. The Holy Spirit inspires it. Many times as I'm preaching, he's teaching me, he's telling me things. I finished preaching 70% of what I said I knew. 30%, I've never known it. I heard it when you heard it. The Holy Spirit breathes on it right there. Illuminates it and gives light. That's what we put together and teach. Even when I'm teaching, still he's bringing new things. I know you won't know while I'm teaching it because it sounds so orderly, so organized. Like he must have had it. No, you couldn't have had it. Check my notes. It doesn't exist anywhere. So the Holy Spirit is the teacher. God told us. He said, when I go, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. He will teach you all things. So we teach you to be led by the Spirit, to be instructed by the Spirit. How many of you went out to evangelize? You didn't know what you say, but you kept finding things to say. You couldn't know how you could know those things. And you just kept saying, and it just kept being supplied. Good. I just do it on a longer in church meeting. That thing you experience every time you step out on behalf of God is the same thing we were to preaching. Just add boldness to it and you take the world for Jesus. Are you understanding? Not add certificates to it. Have you heard me? That just makes you stupid. How many of you saw one video of one man that said he went to a church's Bible school? He has a certificate, but he doesn't want to follow God anymore. That is to send by his money. Who saw it? Who saw that video? He online, he was bringing out the certificate. You see, he doesn't want to, that he wants to believe in Satan. Didn't he say that? That he doesn't want to go to heaven again. That he knows if it's hell, let him go. But that, please, can they return all his tithes and his offerings? Please, that he doesn't want to do it. No, they can keep the offerings, but that he wants his tithe. That here is the booklet of all the records that you should give him back. Some weeks, a month ago, you know, it's on YouTube. It's easy to find. He said, please, that things are very high. He knelt down on the camera. He wasn't joking. He said, please, I'm not joking. That things are really high. That he has sat down and calculated the money so much that because of what they told him, that they should give him back. He wasn't playing. See, I don't believe it again. See, he said, see, I went through all the school. He said, I bring out the certificate. See, I had them. What does that mean? Now, I'm not saying anything new. I've been saying this for years. We don't do certificates. And by the grace of God, we will never do. Maybe there's a level of ministry, but I doubt it. I really doubt it. Like, what would make me give you a certificate? That, to do what? When the devil comes to attack someone, you bring it out. Leave! This 7th day of February, 2005, I got authority. Leave! No. Bro? Sister? Mm-mm. So, I am anti-certificate acquisition. Have no interest. And if you are interested in certificates to prove your learning, you are pathetic. I'm not even playing. Am I attacking those who give? No. It helps sometimes, you know. Okay, so you've gone through some training. You've learned some things. Like, I would like for someone, if you came here and went somewhere else, and they ask, so where did you learn how to do this and that? I think if anyone that knows us as a ministry, that they can look at that thing and say, you went, this is a signature of Pastor Ita. You went through, okay. You must be, if he signed this, then you must have at least learned a lot. See, my concern is the person who learned, but it's devilish. I'm just saying that that paper doesn't qualify you. Let your fruit speak. Not paper. Let your fruit speak. They notice how you are. They notice when they let the Holy Spirit lead the people around you, not the paper. Let the paper not lead them. Huh? Let the paper not lead them. Let the Spirit lead them. Let the light shine over you as you sit in the crowd. And I tell, also, I'd like to see that person. And then later I say, so how are you there? And you tell me your story. I say, I like you. Would you share with us maybe your testimony or something? Let it be like that. Not that you showed me paper and I go like, oh, that means you can do it. Let it not be paper. But I'm giving an excuse for those who use paper. And in case I use a certificate tomorrow, the only reason would be, okay, we have other church members, or we have thousands of people, hundreds of thousands following us. And for them to have some confidence, they want to see. But I still doubt it. If you can't prove it by the authority you walk in, by the grace of God, by the fact that God answers your prayers when you pray, if you can't prove it by your life, you can't prove it by what demons say about you. We notice demons don't dislike you. They don't threaten you. People who understand 139, are the demons threatening? Are they stopped? Where are the people who understand 139 prayers, Suzo prayers? Are they still threatening? It's well with you. If your demons stop threatening, it's not good. If they don't threaten your family that you don't have, threaten you up and down, it means you're not doing anything. Those are our qualifications. Threats. I will finish you. Ah, your family. If they are not laughing, if they are not crying, if they are not weeping, if they are not begging, please, please. And for someone here, I think I got this for somebody. You're in a meeting and people scream, and you said, it is not God now. How can God be disorderly like this? You won't read your Bible. You won't read your Bible. In Jesus' meetings, how you knew demons were there and they left was they were screaming during Jesus' meetings. Who is your own Savior? How can a Christian gathering people just be shouting? In Jesus' meetings, they used to shout and scatter the place. That is what authority does when it meets authority. When a strong man meets a stronger man. So when you go through the deliverance from oppressive spirits, healing from oppressive spirits, you see that where I talked about it. You hear it was normal that those with demons cry out. All of that is absolutely normal if demons are leaving a place. Absolutely normal. So you sit here like on Sunday, thank God it was quite quiet. You know, because a lot of screaming has happened in the past months and years. But God was still cleaning up. You don't look at it and say, God wouldn't do this. Because that's exactly what happened with Jesus. So where again do you get your model from? Stop listening to the Sadducee spirits or at work through certain preachers who sit down and analyze everything and say, no, would God do that? The spirit is organized. If Jesus was here, they would never follow him. They think they would, but they are amongst those who only love prophets dead. Jesus spoke to them while he was here. He said, your fathers killed the prophets. You built tombstones to them for them and said, if you were there, we wouldn't have done it. Then he said, fill up the cup. You, the sin of your fathers, all their judgment will come on you. Because it's the same thing. You want to manage the manifestation of the spirit perfectly. There's no such thing. I have an organized mind. I like order. I've told you, I've never fallen under anointing in my life. I've stood. The one day I felt out for, I sat down. Neatly on a chair. Nobody knew anything. I've never fallen. However, as organized as I am and how I wish people organized, I have seen things happen that I cannot control. So when someone walks away from a meeting like Sunday's meeting and I said, the Lord is cleaning up things in your life, there will be purification, discharges, there will be this, there will be that, there will be all sorts of things. And someone leaves and that those things go and happen and you say it's in their mind. You can't handle an unbeliever at that level. And those kinds of unbelievers are usually Christians. Mostly, many are pastors. They say, no, it's mind over matter. Then you tell them, use your mind now and handle one small matter. They can't. Why can't your own mind ever handle any matters? It's always, respect me that I can use my mind to override matter now. God can do anything and he will do through us. All right, so I've talked about the school, you know, our school of ministry, and we will do these trainings. So everybody will not be going out for evangelism. It won't be like that. It will be the school you're going through. Some have already gone through, some will just slightly formalize it. We'll observe. You know, if we're keeping records, so you've gone this, it'll be our record, the ministry's record books. Okay, you've gone through this, you've gone through TTC. You can teach a believer's Bible school in this place. You've gone through the prophetic intercessory teams. You have served or you can serve in the prophetic teams on Sundays. For those who only come during the week, you should try and come on a Sunday so the prophetic teams will serve you. You know, they'll give you the word of the Lord on different things, past, present, or future, as the Lord chooses to reveal. I'm saying that to our visitors. Do your best. If you're online, you followed us and you think you want us to be, we are a church that you can join in. We already have people. And you've come consistently. Let it not be because you are in Canada or the US or Dubai or wherever you are that you do not benefit. I'm saying this for those who don't know this because we have people that we are a blessing the same way as those that are here in other countries. So feel free to ask. Say, oh, me too, I'm a new person and I'm following you people consistently. Can they pray for me? And they'll pray for you here. Just send your name, that's all. Don't need any information. Don't tell us anything. And we will pray. Now, don't go and start calling your family that do not follow us. Don't go and say, mommy, come and see something. Daddy, years ago, I'm not saying the words that we've gotten were wrong. But I found out that when we try to just pray for people and give them prophetic words, because we are prophetic, that sometimes it got a bit confusing. So in the early days, sometimes I was so excited about what God was doing that I would say, let's pray for so and so person. Let's pray for this one. Two things happen. One, you deliver the word and the person says, I don't know what you're talking about. That does not apply at all. Very confusing. So I said we should stop. The other one is you give the word and it's true, but they refuse to tell you it's true. The things you told them. I told you one example. The man, we saw him once. He came and left. We prayed for him 2 years later. That's, they didn't even know who they're praying for. I just gave a name. Brother M. That's all. They prayed for him. They described some things. They're mainly in the future. I had no idea what it was. There was God consoling him. There was stuff. And there was also the part that sounded like he was in a dark place and he needed to come out into the light. I think he didn't like that because he's like a leader of some church. So we gave it to him and he got angry. He attacked. What is this? What's all this nonsense? When he came, I told him, well, I don't know what he knew about me. But he presumed that I didn't know ministry. He didn't know I'd been in ministry for years. Sorry for him. And when he came to meet me, he now told me, it's not that what they said is wrong, though. You see that song they sang? It's my favorite song. Here, my ringtone. What? Do you understand? Like, the words were specific. Then some didn't come to pass till the next 2 months when it happened, when the lamentation we heard and God consoled him. Armed robbers broke into his house and dealt with him and his wife used machete all over her body. So when everything started happening one by one, now, he never talked to me. Apart from my seeing it on a group we were on, I was the one that now understood the prophetic words we had 2 months before for this stranger who had visited us once and that I on my own carried myself to go and look for trouble and say, let's pray for him. I hadn't seen him. Just say, let's pray for this person. But 2 months later, now he was likely offended because they say, we see you in a place that you have to come out of. It's like your light is dirty. So that likely offended him. So he threw away everything. But they still came to pass. The right leg that, or left leg, I can't remember, that God had said would be broken, was broken with a bullet. I don't like telling this story in public, but we've seen this kind of things happen many, many times. Now, I won't come and tell you because I didn't tell you anything. I just glossed over. I am saying, whether you believe or not, you know, I don't need you to tell me if God speaks to us. There's too much thousands of times when God has spoken and it came to be. So, but sometimes it hasn't come to be yet. It's in the future. So you can't know if it's true or false till time passes. I want everyone to know that you can grow in prophetic. So these are the things we want to train people in. We want people to grow in. We want people to understand. You need it to serve the Lord, to fulfill your calling. How many of you know you all have callings? Callings are real things. Your calling, I heard someone talking about this. I think it's important to say, your calling is not your job. I'm a teacher in a secondary school. They pay me a salary of 70,000. That's my calling. That's not a calling. That's a job. That's how you eat. That's your farm. That's your field. That's where you plant and get a harvest of cash to meet your bodily needs. Your calling is if in that school you start an outreach to those students, or you may not be. God may say, no, your calling is in your church group. And in your church group, I want you to do 1, 2, 3, 4. Or your calling may be to a place in your village or on your street. Your calling could be to children's ministry or to, it can be pastoral in nature. It can be giving. Your calling may be to work hard and then support spiritual ministry. God pushes you, do this business. You have raised money. You give. You know, you don't give like normal givers. You give. It's a bit different. God gives you in chunks. However, he gives you and it's to support ministry. Your calling. It's in Romans 12, okay? So it talks about seven, the ministry of the saints. Your calling could be prophecy. You find you need to pray a lot to pray for people and God will reveal things to you prophetically and you pray more for them. You may not pray with them face to face. You may, you know, so you're on a team that prays for people. You know, whatever your calling is, it may be ruling. In a church body, you're a leader. You have governing authority. You're over a set of people to make sure they do what they do. That's a calling. Whether they give you any title or not, you're in a church like us that does not use titles. Or you're in a church where they use very serious title. You're a semi-canon or something, whatever you are. You know, and that position warrants doing certain things. Okay, so if you understand what I'm saying, that's a calling. You may be a teacher on Monday to Friday. But in between that, you're coordinating the men's group in a church. Making sure the men are doing well. You're coordinating those who visit different men to ensure they are attending Bible study. You're teaching the husbands that fear God class. That's a calling. You may be a permanent secretary and you have a calling to men's ministry. Are you getting? So callings are different from what you normally do. Part of that calling, let's use Daniel. He's an official. Let's use Joseph. He's a government official too. But his job is also to ensure, Joseph, the continuance of Israel and their multiplication. Yes? So even though he's a government administrator, he's also carefully carrying out the role of catering to the body of Christ. He's giving them, supporting them, giving their advice, meet the president, tell him you want Goshen. He's there. He's nourishing them. He's sending transport. He's transporting them. He's caring for them. That's his calling, even though he's a government leader. His government leadership post helps his calling. But that's how it works. Daniel has to see visions and give prophecies. Jesus calls him a prophet, you know. He prophesies about the things that are to come. He's also praying that the children of Israel go back to the land that God gave them and leave Babylon. That's his calling dimension, not the job. We don't know what he was doing in his job with the different kings he worked with. But you know what he did spiritually. It's in the book of Daniel. Yes? The vision. So his calling is to provide information for the body of Christ in the ages ahead. John comes to continues. So callings are different from your routine work. Do not mix it up. I saw a clip and someone was pointing There are some, someone of God sent me a message, a preacher, something, you know, I guess it's on a broadcast, this thing, but he sends me things once in a while, and he was addressing some, you know, something about this, and it's good, it's important, you know, and this other preacher said you could be anything, and that's your calling, provided he helps make people happy. I agree with what this other preacher said, and it's true. You can't just be a driver, driving your bus, parking the car, sleeping, waking up, driving. That's not a calling. That's your field where you get food to eat, like you planted corn. That's like saying your calling is to plant corn, plant cassava, and harvest it, and fry it, and keep it and eat. That's like saying that's a calling. That's not a calling. That's what sustains you while you do your calling. Are you hearing? Good. So the book of Ephesians 1 that I quoted earlier, he says, we pray for you without ceasing, that God will grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of understanding may be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling. So you have to know it. And then you just don't know the calling. You know what's at the end, the hope. And what's that hope? It's the glorious inheritance in the saints. You don't get rewarded for feeding yourself, for getting a good job, for having money and enjoying yourself. Zero reward comes from being alive. That's for everybody on earth. Why do you think the Bible says many are called, few are chosen? Do you think that means many are called to have jobs? Do you think this called here, when the Bible says many are called, few are chosen, do you think it means many will have any job? It doesn't mean that. Many are called means, it didn't say all are called. Many are called. Many people have been called when you were called to come to Jesus. But out of that, only few will ever discover their calling. And then out of those that even get to know their calling, only few will be faithful in their calling in a way that they can be chosen. There could be 100 people in one class, and only one will become a preacher out of those 100 people that were in your department in one class. Only one may become a preacher. Now, does that mean God wanted only one preacher out of them? No. He may have wanted 20. But only one may make it. Five may start a preaching ministry. Only one may be faithful to the end, or none. There may be 18 children ministry callings in that class. Only four may end up doing children's ministry in wherever they are and fulfill their calling. Most will just run after jobs, politics, money, traveling outside the country. They just do different things because they don't know about callings. They don't care. They are ignorant. Let me say something about leprosy so you don't say I didn't say anything. Because they put up the thing there. So you don't say, what kind of leprosy meeting is this? Dear God. The book of Leviticus. I thought I had questions to answer, but I wasn't given any questions. So I presume I had nothing. Okay, wait. Let me just say something about. How many of you remember the three major things that we are told to overcome? Ephesians 5, Colossians 3, Galatians 5. The three major things that will cause us to lose our inheritance. One, immorality. Two, impurity. Three, greed. That is idolatry. So idolatry. Now, if you go to Galatians chapter 5, you see the same list in verse 19. Okay, Colossians 3 is always in this order. Acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality. One, two, impurity. Now, what follows that? Debauchery. And then idolatry and sorcery. Now, why is debauchery there with impurity? Because debauchery means shamelessness. If you go to the class on spiritual warfare in the school of ministry, it's online, that thing I told you. Once you apply and register, name, you're in. Go through it from the beginning. Be organized. Don't just jump all over the place. But if you go through the class on spiritual warfare, I went through every single thing here. Every single sin here, I give you what it means, the application and all of that. So you want to understand how to fight, go through the class on spiritual warfare. The three battlegrounds include one, your life, the church, and the world. There's war on those in those three theaters of war. And if you don't, the first place you fight is your life. That's where you spend good time conquering your enemies before you launch out. To God. Why do many servants of God fail? Bring shame to the name of the Lord and all that. They never conquered the majority of their internal enemies. And they went and started fighting external enemies. Folly. 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 You want it to be popular. You want to be famous. You want to be known. You want to do well. You want to... Folly. You kill the enemies in-house first. A man's enemy shall be there of his own household. In-house, you deal with your sexual immorality. You deal with impurity in your mind. You deal with debauchery. Debauchery is shamelessness. You do things you should be ashamed of, and you're not ashamed of it. You talk it. Some of you were like that. You can say things that should be so embarrassing. Things that should not be said. Thoughts that are in your head, you should be embarrassed that you thought it. You say it out, and someone here, some girls here were like that. More guys were like that. Or acting in ways you should be embarrassed about. Uncovering yourself, dressing lewdly. You know, all of that is connected to debauchery. Shamelessness. A lack of shame. So it's connected to impurity. It's also connected to a form of sexual immorality, depending on which dimension. And then there's idolatry, which is greed, the love of money. All these things we've addressed in this season. We've been talking about leprosy. You know, what I haven't spent time on is talking about impurity. And I felt the Holy Spirit breathed on that, you know. So maybe on Sunday, I'll say more because I don't have much time to say it now. I hope I can say more on Sunday, you know. So on Sunday, make sure you're here in the main service with an expectation to hear. And Leviticus chapter 16 tells you, he was talking about the high priest. And it was the job of the high priest, Aaron, who is a picture of who? Jesus. Okay? So whenever you hear the high priest, you know it's the job of Jesus he's about to carry out. And he's the one who atones for our sins. So the high priest is the one who carried out the atonement. Verse 16, I'll read. So he shall make atonement for the most holy place because of the impurities and rebellious acts of the Israelites in regard to all their sins. He is to do the same for the tent of meeting, which abides among them, because it is surrounded by their impurities. Can you see that? So the Lord Jesus came to make atonement, not just for the world, but for the most holy place. What's that? The Holy of Holies, right? Where the Ark of Covenant is, you know. And he does it for the whole tent of meeting, this whole tabernacle of Moses. He would make atonement. He would take the blood. If you read it from the top, he will sprinkle it. That's what it means to cover something with the blood. Remember what happens when the Lord sees the blood? What passes over exactly? Judgment passes over. So when God sees sin, he brings judgment. But when he sees the blood, he passes over. Why? The wages of sin is death. The life is in the blood. When he sees the blood, he says, oh, something has died here already. They've already paid for their sin. Do you get? So the blood of Jesus is that blood that atones. The word atone means to cover. It covers your sin. That he knows something has died for there to be blood. There can't be blood if something didn't die. So the blood is the blood of his son, his unique son, the Lord Jesus. And based on that blood, the price has been paid for your sin already. He moves on. Good. Now, the holy place, which speaks of the presence of the Lord, this is the ark of his presence, the ark of his covenant. The place where God is, the church, is represented by the tent of meeting, the place where the people of God gather to, the center of how the people of God gather. They have impurities and rebellious acts in regard to all their sins. This is needed. Atonement must come. Or even amongst God's people, judgment will come. Now, there are many of God's people who say, oh, we are God's children. Nothing can happen to us. That is very unwise. It's not just that something can happen. Something will happen. The Bible says judgment begins in the house of God. Remember, in the time of grace, God overlooked many things. In the time that as grace draws to an end and the time for judgment or justice comes, he says he'll close the door and people stand outside and say, let me in. You say, no, I don't know you. Why? He said, because of your lawlessness. So the Lord, the high priest, doesn't want us to have impurities and rebellious acts. Those things that you know God is saying, don't do, and you, please leave me, and you do it. Some of you have done that a lot with God. You're hearing the Holy Spirit. How can you stop, stop? And you're like, and you rebelliously, and you get defiled. He said that the tent of meeting which abides among them is surrounded by their impurities. Child of God, hear me carefully. Many of God's children have impurities of all sorts in their lives. And we are going to have to stop it. It will disqualify you. These things you call little foxes. At the top of that list, it's linked to sexual immorality. But in a way, some people feel, okay, if I stumble in the area of pornography, it's not. You're going to have to be free of all impurities. It's too dangerous. It's dangerous enough to disqualify you permanently. You do not want to be disqualified. We have to have victory over sin. I'll talk about this more on Sunday. Make sure you're tuned in from about 10 o'clock. If you're online, do your best to be here. Now, let me look at what God promises us. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 25. And then we look at Ezekiel 36, verse 25.
I will turn my hand against you. I will thoroughly purge your dross. I will remove all your impurities.
Verse 26.
I will restore your judges as at first, and your counselors as at the beginning. After that, you will be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city.
Keep going to verse 28. Listen.
Zion will be redeemed with justice, her repentant ones with righteousness.
Do you remember how I started when I talked about righteousness exceeding that of the Pharisees? Pharisees are the ones that will classically be sinning behind, looking at impure things with your eyes, allowing all sorts of things into your heart and mind. And then you come out and act, you know, and pretend. But Zion will not be redeemed by hypocrisy. She'll be redeemed with righteousness. That is doing the right thing, even when nobody is there. That mindset that, well, it's okay, I'll do it. God, forgive me. Some of you're going to have to get rid of that mindset. Not that God will forgive you. I know. I live with his forgiveness. It is that you can't be thinking, I'll sin. I will. That's it. Again, we'll talk about this later. Verse 28, read it. This is why you can't operate that way. Everyone.
But rebels and sinners will together be shattered. And those who forsake the Lord will perish.
Now, do you want that to happen to you? A rebel is one who refuses. Who refuses. The Bible says he will turn his hand against us. But when he turns his hand against us in verse 25, what happens? He thoroughly purges our dross and removes all our impurities. Impurities, did you notice he wants to remove all? Why would he say he will remove all if it's acceptable to have some? Did anyone understand what I just said? Do you understand that God doesn't want us to have any impurities? He doesn't say, no, I wasn't sexually immoral. I just. All impurities are against God's will. He wants all of them out. Some of you notice in this season, let me read the last one. Let's read Ezekiel 36, verse 25. If we read from verse 24 to 26 very quickly.
For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all the countries, and I will bring you back into your own land.
Do you remember what I said about holiness? So a separation, yes? We take you out. Yes, next verse.
I will also sprinkle clean water.
What does he sprinkle?
Clean water.
Let the river run much more fully tonight. Find that and the lyrics and hang for me. Yes.
And you will be clean.
He will
sprinkle
us with clean water. How does Jesus Christ prepare the church in Ephesians chapter 5? By the washing of the water by the word. It's word. The word of God, whether it's coming as teaching, the way I'm bringing it now, and you're hearing and saying, oh, wow, that's what God says. Okay, so I have to change. I have to stop. That's how he washes you. He also comes when the word comes with power. You spirit of incubus, like I said on Sunday. And different people, and people start saying, it's true. Since I was small, I noticed things come to sleep with me at night. And as I was praying, that it was shaking within here. Womb, their loins, they were feeling. You heard I was talking about eggs. I was saying all sorts of stuff. Who was here on Sunday? You know? And they said that they've been noticing this thing for years, but they thought it was natural. except that as I began to say, you spirit of this, and all of that started happening. And people were going back and starting to bleed, and all of that. The power that knows the truth. Impurities. Remember I talked about lineage. Things you didn't even have a hand in. Now, again, while there are some of your brethren that say none of this is true, once you give your life to Christ, but we've been going to the doctor, we don't know. The doctor says they can't tell. May God deliver Christians from ignorance. The word, this is how God purifies us too. The word, backed up by the Spirit. When you're speaking under the leading of the Holy Spirit, this is how you get cleansed. Not just by the teaching of the Bible, but by the utterance in obedience and faith, boldly. Then it hits out all these defiling influences in people's minds. Some of you have noticed lots of lost things. Where in the last week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, as I began to talk about leprosy, people, you began to have weird experiences, weird dreams, weird desires, strong coming. I don't need to ask. I won't tell you to raise your hand, except I feel like. But I don't need to. I already know. I've heard enough. This whole season, as I began to teach on leprosy, things began to arise. What is that? People start asking. I thought I was... If there's nothing in front of you, when you push, nothing will move or push you back. So there's something. The God who knows all things. The God who knows all things. So all of our different ones of our people are saying, I'm surprised. I don't understand. I thought, even me, I'm surprised. But I'm not that surprised. There's the God who, he wants to purify you from some impurities. All. You thought you were perfect. No. We are on our way. Do you understand? So even though he has flushed out different things, there's still more. Do you get? So that's his goodness. That's it. How many of you had a supernatural experience that day and thereafter? You know it's not natural. Stuff was happening. You dreamt it. You saw it. You felt it physically. Raise your hand. Quick. After we prayed against leprosy. Now again, there's always someone who does not know what's happening. They just think it's a strange headache. It's fine. All over, many, many people. Deliverances are working. But I'm also saying, some of you had weird attacks. Weird, not just from Sunday. Before Sunday, last 2 weeks, from the time I began to talk about leprosy. Why is that? Because the water is hitting you. How many of you know when water pours on a dirty body, that it washes that dirt down? And it can pool around you at your feet. So water exposes dirt. Before that, the dirt looks like it's part of your body. As the word of God comes from the scriptures and with the authority of God, it begins to do that. So don't be afraid. The only problem is that some people, as the word began to go forth and the dirt started being exposed, washed out, you now played with your dirt. You now put your finger in the dirt. Oh, lust came so much. So I now started yielding to the lust. I now started thinking of going back to I was so tempted with masturbation. I was so tempted. In the process of death being washed out, you're gathering some of the death to touch. Receive understanding in the name of Jesus. Oh, it came so strong. So I went and looked at porn. That's a demon on its way out. And you say, bros, come one more time. Show me something. That is why I had to come and explain it, because some of you got confused. How can it be? God said he's healing us from leprosy and I'm falling. Because you lack understanding. That's when it was like a last battle and you should have stood and said, no! And you foolishly put your hand in the mud as it was being flushed out. You don't do that when you're battling in the bathroom and it's going out the sluice. You know that place where the dead goes out. You can't put your hand there. In your mind. Oh, it's disgusting in your mind, right? But spiritually, you even bat more. Receive grace and receive wisdom. Every time, now, we've been coming across the spirit of sexual immorality for the past 1.5 to 2 weeks. Very strong, they have come against it, and the spirit of greed. You don't find, every time you're about to kick out an enemy, they fight back. It's normal. So when you notice the very thing that is being preached against seeming to arise in your life, please just know that God loves you and he really wants to set you free. Don't do the opposite and listen to what the devil says. He comes to you and says, you see, it's of no use. You see, it's not working for you. Other people are being free. You're getting. It's you that is ignorant. And don't think, okay, God has rejected you because you're foolish enough to put your hand in the dirt he was washing off. Repent. You need to get cleaned up. You need to wash it off. You need to still talk to someone and get rid of these things. This is not a time to hide anything. Nobody bats with their clothes on. Have you heard me? It's not the time to hide things. It is folly to hide things when it's time to clean up. And he says, I will cleanse you. Sprinkle clean water on you and you'll be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. God wants us clean of impurities and he wants us clean of the love of money. Covetousness. Are you hearing me? He wants us clean. Clean. I've told you, you can have money and not be attached to it. I've said it and said it and said it. We have to find more and more stories of people. So I stop using myself as an example. That money can pass through your hands and money does not control you at all. Nothing changes. You don't eat differently. You act normally. Money can pass through your hand and it only goes out to help other people. You can go on being just there. You can be free of attachment to money. That mindset that once there's money, there must be, is not true. Or that, is there anybody that doesn't like money? There are people all over the world who have given up money. People that were so rich, equivalent to multimillionaires and billionaires. They gave up everything. Gave it all to the cause of the kingdom. You must learn from them. Mimic them. Mimic John Wesley, who was earning a certain amount as a student. Until he died, I heard he spent about the only that same amount. Even though he was earning about £32 a year back then. Then he decided he'll be giving out everything. He went on to live on £30 or £32 for the rest of his life. And even when his yearly income was no more £32, but £4,000, he still lived on £32. Because he committed. I'm not saying, don't go starting what you cannot continue. But he did it. Now look at that. And he had said, when I die, if you find even 10 cents or whatever in my pocket, let me be rejected or something. And truly, when he died, so they were there doing, Charles Spurgeon had multiple houses where women that were prostitutes and they led to Christ. He housed them and gave them jobs. Multiple. Charles Spurgeon, in those days, you could, for all the meetings you sat in, you paid for a seat. So people paid for a seat to come to Metropolitan, this thing, hall, where he used to preach. All that money. He wasn't living large. He was comfortable. He wasn't living large. He catered to many. This is what you do with money. You cater to people. You don't, see money. Hey, now I have more. How much is it now? My target. We've spoken so much of that. That's idolatry. Impurities and idolatry go hand in hand. Do you understand this? And then verse 26 says, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I'll remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I'll stop there. Because I want us to pray a simple prayer. I'll answer the questions on Sunday. How many questions are there? Just one. So I must answer it. If it's the one carryover from Wednesday, I heard, okay, it's not. Okay. What about spiritual fatherhood and spiritual mentorship? Isn't it necessary for ministry? It is. Absolutely. This is a good place. You have many mentors. Fatherhood, it depends on what you mean. Depends on what you mean. If you can't find any human father to father you in the spirit, get Jesus Christ to father you in the spirit. He's a very good father in the Lord. Our Lord, Jesus Christ. Okay. But more importantly, God uses people to cater to other people. That's what fatherhood is. What do fathers do? They feed and care. All right. So don't turn it into idolatry. Whoever asks that question, you need to ask more. I have something on loyalty and spiritual fatherhood on Red Chair Truth. So go to Red Chair Truth online or the Taldor channel, I think, on YouTube too. Check for spiritual fatherhood and loyalty or something. Watch that interview. I think it was an interview. And I answered questions on loyalty and fatherhood. Make sure you don't do what many are doing now, where they idolize a human being and call it fatherhood. That's confusion. Or when, no matter what your father in the Lord does, no matter how wrong it is, no matter how much it counters what Jesus does, you support it because you have elected him your father. Jesus said something. He said, call no man father. You have one father, Father in heaven. That doesn't mean you can't call a human being papa or father or anything. That's not what it means. What it means is don't look to a person as your source, your beginning and end. You can break off from someone completely if he carries out acts that are contrary to fatherhood. You have young ladies who are saying, this is my father in the Lord, and your father in the Lord touches you immorally. How crazy can you be? What's wrong with you? Someone should slap you on the street. What's wrong with you? It's your father in the Lord. He touched, so fathers touch daughters. What's wrong with you? Even you know you're not okay. So don't do things like that. You know, say, I must have a spiritual father. You have a father that started looking at you lasciviously. You have not run. You should know something is wrong. That's not fatherhood. That's confusion. You're about to commit spiritual incest. And what do you want to come out of that? All right. So you get the point. Now, again, you may have been, God forbid you're the cause, but there are these different things you must know. All right. Give us the lyrics of that song. We are praying. Stand to your feet quickly. Then next week, Saturday, again, we'll be looking at 10 o'clock in the morning. And we are going to make some changes. That's all I'm saying. I want Saturday morning, you sleep well, you wash your clothes, you do whatever you want to do, and then you come out and you undergo training in, you go through different classes. I've talked about that. We are going to equip more people faster. So we finish with you. You finish this class, you go to the next one, 2 months later, 3 months later, you go to the prophetic ministry training, you go to the teaching training, you go to pastoral training, you go like that, and you get out. You do God's will wherever you go. The grace of God, the knowledge you've learned, the examples you saw with your eyes when you're casting out demons. All our classes will be practical. We have always been practical. Nobody will pretend to be demonized. It's real demons we bring for you. Don't worry, there's always fresh meat. We'll find new people. The people the evangelism class brought, they will bring over to the social class to cast out. It's just a neat thing. So we hope everyone that wants to grow in the Lord, you tell your friends too, that as Christians that want to grow in God, tell them, come now. You know, we won't just do it for members. We invite even others. Let them learn to be soldiers in the army of God. The end is near, and many are totally unprepared. Father, this is a prayer tonight. Let the river run much more fully tonight. Let your river run, come swirling around. Wash away the dirt, help us, Lord, hear the sound. Walk in us, God, Lord, turn us around. Let the things that were lost, Lord, today, Lord, be found. Set the prisoners free wherever they're bound. Father God, let your people know resound. Let the spirit satisfy, let our thirsts. Father, you will sacrifice. You, your Son, O God, send to us, O everyone, Lord God, your word. Would run, your kingdom would come. Father, save your sons,
yes, God,
and your daughters where there are bonds. Father, come, Lord, give us your freedom to do your will in the circle of the earth. Help your children till they learn to give birth by the power that you bring. Father, Lord, all around, let them hear the sound of the truth that you give. River runs, his kingdom comes. His will be done when there are many a son. Father, Lord, God of you will be found. Oh, Lord God, we love your great praise. Lift us up, carry us away to where you are. Let us see your face, full of Lord's grace. Teach us your ways, Father God, give us grace. Stand still, yielding to your will. Father, Lord, take everything upon your bill. Love you, dear God, give you the praise, be exalted, be magnified, oh.
Help us, Lord, keep pace. We will look to you every day. Father, we pray. Help us learn your ways as we look to you. All you do is true. Guide your people through the circle of the earth. We look upon you. We look upon you. Your children, they look upon you. Your children will look upon you, look upon you. Your children will look upon you, look upon you. Your children will look upon you.
Hallelujah. I had no idea. I just heard the first line, all that stuff about your face, all of that. I had no clue. So when you go back, this song is on YouTube. I'm sure the MP3 format will go out as I'm talking. When you go back, go online, check, you'll see this song. Now it has much more. We've prayed, we just prayed, okay, we're out of time. That prayer was given by the Holy Spirit. It's one of our spontaneous songs, unplanned, unrehearsed, just on the spur of the moment. And I believe, remember, it's where your words are that God's power goes forth. As we were saying those things, whatever, even though you were trying to, I mean, I don't know it well, it doesn't matter. God will judge us by our words. Do you understand? So as you said those words, whether I sang it or said it, it doesn't matter. The important thing is that if it's according to the Lord's will, he hears us. So Father, I ask that you do everything we have asked. We look upon you, your children, they look upon you. Your face, your grace, help us keep pace. In the name of Jesus, go with yours. Bless them, prosper them, give them speed. Do more in us than we can ask or imagine. Thank you. Let the work continue. The cleansing continue. There's more. So in his face, there's going to be work being done. There's more that is coming. As you sit with the Bible, as you sit before the Lord on your knees, however you are, that time you cut out just to spend with him. Set aside your phone. He's going to be doing wonders. Don't ask how. Just know it will happen and it will continue till our impurities are all cleansed in the name of Jesus. Father, let the work continue. I declare war on impurities.
Amen.
Lord, may the angels go to work.
Amen.
May your river run over this once.
Amen.
Thank you. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Physical and spiritual impurities. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
We pray you receive eyes to see, ears to hear, and an understanding heart. Remember, test all things and hold fast to what is good. For more information, visit our website at gods-lighthouse.org.
Straight.